Amen. Amen. Isn't it obvious that God has another His hand and His blessing on believers fellowshipping and loving one another? Isn't that obvious? God has blessed the fellowship of the believers. If you will, stand with us for the reading of Scripture today. We're going to go ahead and look at the Word, and then at the end of service, I do have a couple of important announcements. We are thankful for our children in Bible school. They raised, I think there's 277 cans that they raised. Who won, Elise, the boys or the girls? The girls won. Men, boys, don't ever make me have to stand up here and make that kind of statement from this pulpit. We got to do better next time. I knew I should have went to the house and brought a bunch of cans over on that last night. But anyway, so we do have several announcements this morning. We'll make at the end of service. Proverbs chapter 22, if you will. Proverbs chapter 22. And I love the songs. I love the way they open. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Praising the Lord is getting into it. For next Sunday morning when I open, and we have an opening song, we'll have a video playing with adults singing that song, acting out all these dancing moves and calisthenics, and so you to worship have to do that next Sunday morning. So do your stretches before you come to church, because you're going to need to be stretched out and ready to roll. Well, today's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all of our fathers in here. Let's thank God for our fathers right now. Both past, those in heaven, and those that are here. Amen. So that has been on our mind, and our mind has been on this verse really all week long as we've really thought about it and God has planted it inside of our heart. And the Bible says this when we think about biblical fathers: train up a child in the way he should go. Underline that word train, because it's pivotal and it's huge in this passage of Scripture. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22, verse 6. You may be seated. May God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. It's so good to see you here today, and I'm so thankful you've come to the Lord's house. But today is Father's Day. I'm not always a thematic preacher. I can't always preach on the theme of the day. Sometimes God has me going different directions and I just follow Him. But today He has very much laid this theme of Father's Day upon my heart. And so we started thinking about fathers, both past and present, and what it means to be a biblical father. I started thinking about my own dad and thanking God for all of his traits and qualities of his life that's pointed me to the Lord. And I praise God for that. I praise God for all the fathers that I've known in my lifetime that were biblical, godly men who pointed us to Jesus in every aspect of their life. Well, I want to say this today. As you well know, and I've declared it many times, but the home in America, I'm not going to say it is under attack as if it's brand new, but it's been under attack for the last 30 or 40 years. The devil has tried his best and he's largely succeeded. We must be very honest. To destroy the home and to destroy, even particularly as we're talking this morning, the role and the personage of a father within that home. Hollywood, television, music, things like that have influenced our society, and it has made little or no value of the home and of the father's role within that home. And so I started thinking about all the blessings of the fathers that I've had in my life that I've seen. Some watched from a distance. Some were people like my dad, my grandfather, and so forth. Then I started thinking about my own life. And listen, so I started thinking today and had to do a little honest self-reflection, if you will. I started thinking about me as a father and as a dad and what I've done good. And I particularly just kind of did a self-inventory this morning, and I thought about the failures in my life as a father or as a dad. I think We say self-reflection. I don't like that term, but maybe I should say spirit reflection because it's the Spirit of God that allows you to do this. But I think it's good that we allow the Spirit to open up our heart and open up our eye and our mind's eye and just take a good look at ourselves and who we are. Or not just who we are, but who we've been. Both, yes, good, but also where we failed along the way. And I look back on my own journey of fatherhood, and I've always said that that you can't write the book on parenting. You don't really know how to be a parent until your children are raised and gone. And then it's too late. And so that is very, very true. But when we look at our own lives and we see where we have failed along the way, and Dad, you do the same thing. Take an inward look for a moment and think about your failures as a dad and as a father. Don't worship them. Don't get hung up there, because God forgives and He restores and He directs you on the right path. But think about the ways where you have failed and the ways you have maybe not walked in the way of the Lord when it comes to raising your children. So think about that just for a minute. And I want to confess to this thought, and moms, I know you have your own struggles, and we kind of preached on those thoughts during Mother's Day, but dads, I want you to know, and I know because I identify with you as a father and as a dad, but in this day in which we live, where the world pulls us to the left and to the right, this is a very difficult day to be a biblical, godly father. It's tough being a dad. Now, maybe I should say it's tough being a dad who cares, because there's many men out there who have children, and, well, they don't care about their children. Their life shows that. All they think about is number one. All they think about is me, myself, and I, and they don't think anything of their children. But maybe I should say that being a caring, loving dad, it is a hard path. And one of the reasons that it's so difficult, and you need to understand, is this. You need to understand it's so difficult because the devil has his eye on the home. And if the devil has his eye on the home, particularly the devil has his eye on the head of that home, which is the father or the dad in that home. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. And so you have a target on your back, which makes it very difficult, and it makes it a challenge to be the father that God would have you to be. And what's more challenging is this thought. What's more challenging is that I'm made of flesh and blood. I've been saved by God's grace, but the new man is living inside the old body. And this old body is flesh and blood. I'm but a sinful man. See, God has delivered me from the power of sin when I got saved. He's given me the power to overcome sin and temptation and so forth. Thank God one day He's going to ultimately deliver us from the presence of sin when He takes us home to be with Him. But on Calvary, He delivered me from the penalty of my sin, and He delivered me from the power of sin. But yet still this day, I don't always choose to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes I walk in the flesh. Now, that's a little self-confession right there. And if you want to pretend like you're a religious Joe on Sunday morning, that's fine. But I'm just confessing my sins. We'll pass the microphone in a few and let you confess yours. That'd be all right. But I don't always walk around with a Bible in my hand. I was not born with a suit standing behind a pulpit holding a microphone. But I'm just me. And God knows me. And God knows me better than I know me. And I fail almost every day. But the inward man, the new me, the new creation in Christ Jesus, what He wants is, He wants to do what God wants, particularly when it comes to parenting and raising my children. And so the Bible says this in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. So what I want to do is this. When I look back on my yesterdays and I see my failures and my mistakes, and boy, listen, as a dad, if you could go back and rewrite it, you would, wouldn't you? But you can't, because yesterday's gone. So I can't fix yesterday's where I have failed and where you have failed. But by God's grace, what we can do is we can make a difference today and change today by the power of God. And we can change our tomorrows by the hand of God and His grace in our life. And so that's our determination today. Let's see what the Bible says about what we're to be and how we're to be as a father or as a dad. So that we may be everything God's Word says. And listen, and if we fail and stumble along the way, then all we got to do is just go to the throne of grace where we can receive mercy in our time of need and ask God to forgive us and then take His Word as our guide once again and let it lead us and we follow God and His Spirit and His Word to be that father that we're supposed to be. Well, I want to show you some things. I feel like maybe today is not really even stressed much anymore, but it's found right here in this verse. Excuse me. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the whole key on this is on that word train. I've hit on this lightly before, never in detail, just talking about how that, you know, some people will say, well, I took my kids to church all their life. I don't understand why they're living like this, or I don't understand why they've run off and done that, or I don't understand why they are the way they are. I took them to church all the time. Well, that's not what Proverbs 22:6 says. See, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. It does not say simply teach a child in the way he should go. Football's going to be kicking off if it hadn't already. Those football players, they'll be going to the football field and they'll be training for the rest of summer in this glorious Georgia heat. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen, especially our football players right there. But listen, I promise you this. I promise you that Franklin County High School, nor do the citizens of Franklin County want a football team at their high school that's going to go up there and just go in a classroom and just be taught about football all summer long. I promise you this, the football team's not going to go up there and they're not going to go to the library every day. Nothing wrong with the library, in case you're a librarian here this morning. But they're not going to go to the library and sit in the library all day long in the Georgia heat, in that air-conditioned library. No. No, they're not just going to be taught some principles of football, but they're going to train. They're going to take what they've been taught and they're going to get on that field and they're going to sweat. And they're going to hurt and they're going to ache and they're going to do play after play after play until they get it right, until they're stronger than they've ever been, until they can run faster than they've ever ran, until they can catch, till they can throw, till they can do everything that's involved in becoming a scholar athlete on the football field. I promise you this, you don't want to bed your head at nighttime knowing that there's an army standing watch and protecting our nation that has only been taught how to be a soldier. You want to lay down at nighttime knowing that there's a military who's not only been taught the fundamentals of soldiering and tactics and things like that, but you're going to want to know they're training. That they've been through training and that they have trained and they have trained and they have trained and they have put it into practice and they put it into practice until everything that they're doing is second nature. So when it comes time to protect our nation, they don't have to go back to a classroom and say, now can we go over that lesson again? But when it comes time to defend our nation, they can stand and they can defend us because everything is second nature to them because they've been taught and they've been trained. Are you with me? See where I'm going this morning? And so the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And so what the Bible is teaching us here is not just to teach our children the ways of the Lord. But the Bible is teaching us here, we've got to train our children, which is much more intense and much more deep. I really should just back up for just a moment and really just talk about teaching our children. So we live in this church age, and this thing can be traced back, and I'm not going to go through history. But we live in this church age today to where worldly attitudes, worldly philosophies have crept into the minds and the hearts of us as believers. And so what we have today is we have as so-called believers and so-called members of a church, we have today because we've been influenced by the outside world so heavily, that as a dad, that now I have this worldly mentality and this worldly philosophy going on in my mind. And what that means is this, is that in my mind, I think that the most important thing for me to do with my son is to teach him how to run a football or throw a football. That the most important, absolute thing for me to do with my child is to teach them how to throw a curveball. That the most important thing for me to do with my child is to teach them how to fly a fish and to lay that fly softly right down on the water so they can catch a big trout. Or to teach them how to fish, or to teach them how to hunt, or to teach them how to golf, whatever the case may be. Whatever the Joneses are doing and the Smiths are doing, then I've got this worldly mentality today that says I've got to teach my child these important things because they're so important. And I've got to teach it to them. But friends, listen to me. What's rare today is to find some men within the church who says those things are good. And all those things are wonderful. God's given them to us for our pleasure and for our joy. And I want to share some of those things with my children. But what's most important in the life of my child is me taking an open Bible. And teaching my kids and training my kids about being a disciple of Jesus. This is what the Bible says. Teach them. And this is how we live it out. And show them and train them and put it into practice and let them see it. Because listen to me, that is the most important thing that you and I can do as a dad, is take an open Bible and point our kids to Jesus, both by teaching and by life example. That's the most important thing we can do for our kids. Now, friend, listen, I've got a burden for this, because I've looked around as a 25 years as a pastor slash counselor, and I've looked at families, and I've seen some families that are doing good and succeeding and walking with Christ and following Him, and they're raising children that are disciples of Jesus and following Christ. not perfect kids and not perfect parents or fathers. But they're teaching and training their kids how to follow Christ. And then I see families that are falling apart. And I see children who are leaving and winding up so far from the roots of their faith that grandma and grandpa established years and years ago. And I've looked at those homes and I've prayed about it. And I said, what is the disconnect? What separates parents or dads who can raise children who are disciples of Jesus versus families that are falling apart? Now, let me throw a disclaimer in here immediately. Let me say this. And you hear me now. Let me say this before I finish my message. It's possible to be an absolutely perfect father and parent, perfect in every way, and teach and train your kids in the way they should go. And those kids still, when they reach that age of maturity, 18, whatever, they still go off and they leave the Lord. Sadly, that is still the truth. Because that child has free will. As an adult, they have free will. And so there's no promise. There's no guarantee. They still may go do their own thing. And they may walk away from the Lord. But listen, let me finish what I was saying now. So what is that huge disconnect where you see some families succeeding and other families where the family's falling apart? And I want to tell you something. I think the thing, here, watch this. I think the thing that makes a difference in the life of your children, Dad, is this: an open Bible in your home. Do you hear me? An open Bible in your home. When my kids were little, this is what we did at bedtime. This is what we do at the supper table. And we talked about, listen, and what the Lord commanded the children of Israel to do was talk about these things in the mornings. Talk about these things at lunch. Talk about these things at supper time. Talk about these things throughout the day. And so what you're doing is you're teaching your kids and you're teaching your kids, but then you're living it out and you're training them and you're showing them, we're going to go do this and we're going to go do that and we're going to go here and we're going to go there. We're going to do what Christ has commanded us to do. And you train them until it's instilled in them. Because listen to me, I want every dad in here to understand something. And dads, number one, I hope you've been saved by God's grace and you know that you've been saved by God's grace. Friend, I hope you've given your life to Jesus. And if you've not, you need to do that today. But our primary responsibility as a dad is to do this, is to point our children to Jesus, is to get them to the Lord and let God save them. I want you to know something. My kids cannot be saved by riding on my testimony of salvation. They had to have their personal experience with the Lord. And also, they can't live their lives based upon my testimony of my life following Jesus. They have to have their own testimony of God's grace working in their life as they follow Him and become a disciple of Jesus. So let me say this very quickly. So two things about training a child. There's a couple things we can train our children to do. Number one, we can train our children to worship. You hear me? We can train our children to worship. You want to know why so many of our churches today are quiet as a church mouse? And keep in mind the transgression that that is. Because we've been saved by God's grace, plucked as a firebrand out of the fire, was on our way to hell, and God miraculously opened our eyes and showed us the need for a Savior who loves us so much that He died and shed His blood and rose again on that third day that we may have eternal life if we put our faith in Him. We've been saved, and we ought not to be quiet because there's a football team that's going to be up there training and sweating and bleeding all summer long. And when they stand in that stadium, listen, I can hear it from my house. There's a cannon goes off, and there's cheers to be heard because the team has won a victory. Well, friend, we've won a victory. We ought to cheer this morning. And so, amen, amen. And so, we ought to teach our kids to worship. Now listen, Dad, that's not just in church. You understand, we teach our kids to worship at home through thanksgiving, through prayer, through the study of His Word and so forth like that. And we let them see us worshiping the Lord. Yes, church is a good place to let them see what its worship's like in corporate worship or public worship. But they are to know that, they are to know and to see, and we're to train them to worship the Lord. I remember one time, I don't even remember how old Abigail was. She was very, very young. She was probably about maybe 7 years old. Just really, it was beginning to understand the Spirit. And we had I think it was a Sunday night, and we had just a wonderful service on that Sunday night, and the Spirit began to move in a great way, and many people were standing up and giving their testimonies, just thanking God for His grace publicly all around the church. And I felt that night that Abigail, even at 7 or 8 years old, her and Elizabeth were singing in church at the piano, and I felt that night Abigail probably had something to say, and I didn't say a word about it. And I mean, you can't make people follow the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want people just standing up talking in the flesh when the Spirit starts moving. You want people who's moved by God's Spirit stand up and thank the Lord. We've had that happen here. That happened on this night. Wonderful service. So we got home and I put her in the bed and I prayed with her and I said, Abigail, I need to ask you something. And she said, what? And I said, was you supposed to say something tonight? And oh my goodness, the look on her face and tears swelled up in her eyes. She began to cry, and she said, Dad, how did you know that? You know, that's the Lord. And so we got to talk about that. She was supposed to say something about how thankful she was. And so she had seen enough in our services and been taught enough at home to where when the Spirit prompted her, you know, having her first experience in a public setting probably with God's Spirit really prompting her to give a testimony. But she was sensing the Spirit and knowing, and so she had been taught and she had been trained, and she was trying her best to follow the Lord. So that's number one. Teach your kids to worship. Teach your kids to worship. Let them see when you come to church. Let them see you worship the Lord. And men, listen to me. If we are to be leaders within the home, and we are to be. We are to be. God has called us to be the spiritual head and to lead our family in our home. If we're to be the leaders in the home, then what are we to do? Are we to come to church and wait on women and children to worship the Lord first? Or are we to be the example and give God the glory for the great things He's done in our life? That's what we're supposed to do. So number one, we are to train our children to worship. Number two, we're to take our children to church. And boy, listen, I'm going to say this, and I'll be honest with you, this is, we're in such a difficult church age today. I'm going to say it anyway. I realize church is not all that popular in the day in which we live. And I am so thankful for faithful men and women at Liberty who you are here and you come and you're faithful and true to the Lord. But I want to tell you, in a lot of places within the good old Bible Belt, church is just not a popular thing. It's not popular in our nation anymore, particularly coming on Sundays. But listen to me, I want to tell you something, Dad, and you write this down and you mark this down, because this is found within the Word of God. This is not my opinion as a pastor, not only my opinion, but it's my opinion based upon the truth found in God's Word. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Here's what the Lord does. They say, as the manner of some is. In other words, the Lord was saying there, in His Word, that there's some people, they just don't really care about church, and they're going to forsake gathering together as a church. That's their habit. That's their pattern. They're hit or miss. But what He's commanding us is, don't miss church. Church is so important. Don't miss it. And He tells us that as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, the more and more we ought to be here faithful to the church. And so watch this, Dad, listen to me. Dad, more important than work on Monday is church on Sunday. Write that down, because that's God's Word and that's truth from God's Word. And so listen, I want to tell you something. I have never with Elizabeth, Abigail loved to fish, and so she's been my fisherman, and Elizabeth hunted and fished. But with Elizabeth, I've never woke up at 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. when the clock has went off to go hunting or fishing and said, I just don't feel like it today. I ain't feeling it. Let's just go back to sleep. I've never done that. I've never woke up when it was raining and said, no, we're not going today. Put on a rain suit, we'll go anyway. I got a picture. I left Elizabeth one time. It was 20 degrees outside with a 20-mile-an-hour wind with a foot of snow on the ground, and it was still snowing, and the snow was being driven. It was unbelievable. I left her in the tree stand, turned around, took a picture of her all bundled up, sitting there in a foot of snow right on this high mountain gap, and I'm telling you, it was cold. But give us a rainy morning and the church will be empty. Because there's some dads who don't have backbone and won't stand up and say, hey, get your clothes on. We're going to the house of the God, because God commands it. It blesses me, and I'm going to worship Him because He's blessed me this week. And so take your kids and your family to church. More important than anything else you do through the whole week long. Having them at piano lessons, having them at baseball lessons, having them at dance lessons, taking them on vacation, this and that. All those things are great, wonderful, and they're good, and God's given them to us. But they're not more important than taking your kids to church. Why is that? Why is that so, so important? Well, let's just see here just for 1 minute. I know God can save a man anywhere. We've seen God save a thief on a cross. We've seen people in the Bible saved by the river at a prayer meeting. We've seen a man in the Bible saved in the jail cell. I got saved in my bedroom. I know people that's been saved at the edge of a creek bank before. I know people that's been saved in an office before. I know people that got saved behind a chicken house before. We know God can save anybody anywhere if they're willing to come through repentance and faith. We know that. But just out of curiosity, how many people got saved in a church service? Raise your hands. Whew. Hands all over this church. Hands all over this church. That's one reason we should bring our kids to church. That's one reason. And that alone's enough, my friend, because it's here. It's here. They're going to get to see you worship, Dad. It's here. They're going to get to hear the Word of God, whether it's in children's church, whether it's in Awanas on Wednesday night, or middle school, high schoolers at the youth building on Wednesday nights, or whether it's here on Sundays. They're going to hear the Word, and they're going to see God's people praising Him. And so we are to teach our children to worship or to take our children to church. These things, my friend, will take your kids and will point them to a Savior who will one day save them when they turn to Him by faith. And then it will mold them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've heard many, many dads in my lifetime, and mamas too, regret some of the things they pushed their kids into. You know, I just say that there's a lot of things we make our kids do that our kids really wasn't into and they didn't want to be pushed to do it. But we make them do it. I've heard some dads regretful that they pushed their kids so hard in athletics. And it was travel ball this, travel ball that, this season, that season, this season, that season, all through the school year. I'm not knocking on that. There's nothing wrong with all of it. But when we're stressing, that's what's important. That's what's important. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. I've heard many dads say, I wish I hadn't pushed my kids so hard in that. I wish I hadn't pushed my kids so hard in that. Friend, listen to me. If you're going to pour energy and effort into your children and you're going to give them a passion about something, sports is great. It's okay. Nothing's wrong. I'm not preaching against that. My sport was fishing and hunting, and I did plenty of that. I do plenty of that. But listen, if we're going to put in our children a fire and a passion for anything, let it be for following Jesus. If we're going to stand in our driveway, and we should, if we're going to stand in our driveway and throw ball with our kid back and forth and back and forth, if we're going to take them in the yard and pitch to them so they can hit, if we're going to go to them and sit in the stands and watch them play, that's all fine, that's all wonderful, but I'll tell you this, our passion for teaching them to be a disciple of Jesus, it ought to be amplified so greater than that. That when our kids look at us, they don't see someone teaching them baseball, softball, football, volleyball, basketball. But when they look at us, they see somebody who's in love with Jesus and who is trying their best to point them to a God who loves them so much. Now, there's nothing wrong with these other things. God give them to us for us to enjoy. Don't let it become the passion of our lives. Our passion ought to be to know Him and to make Him known. And that's what we've got to instill into our children. And church, I close with this. Addison, can you come and pick us something or play something, whatever the case may be? You come on up here. So when I look at our families today, hear me out. And this has been a theme for several weeks now in some way or another. But when I look at our families today within the church, my heart aches. And when I look at dads and fathers within the home, my heart breaks today. And I'm worried. I am worried about the home. I'm worried about the church as a result of that. And listen to me, dads, I'm worried about your children. And I'm going to say this. I've said this many, many times throughout my ministry. But I love your children far more than I love you. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? I love your children. And what I want for your children, whoever they are and wherever they're at, I know kids will be kids. I get it. Because I was a kid one time. I still am most days of the week, except when I have to grow up on Sunday and do all this adult stuff up here. But listen, I love your kids, and I want nothing more than to see your kids come to the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And then to see them become disciples, fall in love with Jesus. To see them fall in love with Jesus and His plan for them and His purpose for them and see them follow God no matter the cost. That is what I long for. That's what I pray for. That's what I desire for you and your children. But listen to me. The dynamics of the family says the kids are going to be around the mama more than they are the dad. That's just the dynamics of a family. The kid will be around the mother more than they are the dad. Despite of that, the number one influence in a child's life on them coming to the Lord is their dad. Whew. That's a heavy responsibility, mom and dad. And I tell you what I want at Liberty and want for you particularly. More than you just taking your kids to church, I want to tell you that ain't going to do it. More important than that, I want to see some dads at liberty, some fathers at liberty, rise up and say, I've not always done everything right. I've had my share of failures. I've made some mistakes. But by God's grace this day, what I'm going to do with His help is I'm going to be a biblical father. I'm going to train my children in the way of the Lord. I'm going to let them see an open Bible in my home. I'm going to start teaching them some things. Yeah, teach them how to cast a fishing pole. Yes, teach them how to throw a curveball. All of those things. But the most important thing that I'm going to start teaching them is I'm going to start teaching them some things like character. I'm going to start teaching them things like conduct, good conduct, godly conduct. I'm going to start teaching them things like humility and things like servanthood and things like how to love and how to be patient and how to love your neighbor as yourself, how to be a minister of Christ, how to comfort people that are hurting, how to be a prayer warrior and an intercessor for those that are around you. I'm going to teach them these things because they're far more important than the things I may do in my yard or my driveway. I'll do them when we get time and have time. We'll have fun doing all of those things. But what's most important is am I raising disciples? Am I training? Am I training? Or am I just taking my kids to church? Here's what I know about Liberty Men. Liberty Men, we've got some of the best men in Franklin County right here in this church today. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe Liberty Men want this. I believe you want to be that trainer in your child's life. And you've probably done like me. You failed your share of failures. And God help us, we can't go back and take it back. It's done. But by God's grace, we can change today. And I can change tomorrow. Some of you have already raised your kids. And you made mistakes all along their development into adulthood. But you got grandkids now. And you can make a difference in their life. I wonder how many people's here today because a grandparent pointed them to Jesus. Because a grandparent was that godly individual who trained them in the ways of the Lord. And so I would wonder, are there some dads here today who would say, you know what, preacher? I've got my share of failures. And I can't change my yesterdays. But by God's grace, He can forgive me of my failings of yesterday and let me today be a man who's different for Jesus. Let me be a man that not just my children, but my nieces, my nephews, the neighborhood kids can look to and they'll see Jesus in me. And so they see Jesus in me so much that it'll point them to Jesus, their Savior, in whom they'll follow and devote a life to following Him after. Let me be that man, Jesus. Is that you today? And I'm going to ask you to stand, and as Addison begins to sing, I want you to make your way to this altar and commit yourself to being that man, that dad, that God's Word has called us to be. You come, Addison, sing for us.